Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
It's Father's Day, and on Father's Day, the last couple of Father's Day, I have given the message, and so Pastor does the offering, and he doesn't always know all the stuff, so we probably should have gone through that a little bit better, but because we record this particular service and put it on Facebook Live, then we like to have all the methods and ways to give out there so that everyone gets an opportunity to sow, because as he said, the word tells us that when we give, he causes it to come back unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and we don't want to keep anyone from having that kind of a blessing. Amen? So, I started to mention it's Father's Day, and so, you know, we try to have a message that lines up with that in mind, but it always is, you know, it doesn't ever seem to be only about fathers, and so this message will be for everyone here in the room, but I'm hoping it doesn't get anyone all their feathers ruffled this morning. I told Earl yesterday when we were talking about it, I said, you know, I always feel like that when God tells me to give something, there's always something that's going to I'm like, I don't want to say that. So God has other opinions or other things in mind. He's got other words. So let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house together, Lord, as one body. We thank you, Lord, that when we are gathered in your name, you are here in the midst. We thank you, Lord, that this service belongs to you. It is your will that we want accomplished here today. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that even Paul prayed for himself that you would give him utterance to speak. So I pray now that you would give me utterance to speak forth the mystery of the gospel, that I would do so with boldness and accuracy, but Lord, also as I ought, in the way, in the manner, in the tone, in the implication, all the words and all the ways that you want it delivered. And so I thank you now for that utterance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one here, that they have an expectation in their heart, that they came with a desire to get and have more of you, and in doing so, they're going to pull out of heaven what you have for them today. So we ask this now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. So men were created by God. Amen. So were women. But men were created first. We can go back into Genesis and we can look at the order of how things were done. But men were created first, and that was intentionally because men were created to lead the household. Men were created to be the leader of the home. Men were God ordained men to be that. And so he couldn't create woman till he had created man so that the man could lead the woman. That was the intention of his order. God does everything in order. Amen. This wasn't, you know, kind of like the joke, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, in our mind, we would think the woman would have to come forth first in order to bear the birth of man, but that's not how it happened. God put it in order intentionally as Adam to lead the family. And so he was created first, and we may look a little bit at that, but in Genesis, he did tell us, so we can establish, and we'll do that a little bit, that God did create man and husbands to lead the household, right? To lead their family. So we'll go back and we'll read in Genesis, but before we do that, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And as I said, this is in the New Living Translation. There is an order to the way God does things. He says, "But there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." So there's an order right there. We can see that there's a hierarchy in the way that this is listed. You have, of course, the head of every man is Christ. So every man should have the first and foremost, and this is not just for men, all humans who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, whether man or woman, should have God and Jesus as the forefront. Christ is the forefront above all else. But as he especially says that here, the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man. So women, we do need to come under the authority of a man if there's a man in our household. So as we go through this, don't get all mad at me. We're going to talk about this. And again, it says, and the head of Christ is God. You know, we hear Jesus talk about Jesus, of course, as Christ is referring to here. Jesus said over and over and over again, all the time he was here on earth, he kept saying, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only say what the Father has told me to say. Jesus, he answered to God. He was the answer for God. Everything that God spoke, Jesus spoke. And he didn't speak anything or say or do anything that God had not first shown him, told him, or, you know, asked him to do. And so that is the order. So we can establish now how this works, right? And so definitely without a doubt, then, and then let me also say, and we don't have this translation in there, but the Good News translation actually says, Christ is supreme over every man, the husband is supreme over his wife, and God is supreme over Christ. And the word supreme can mean authority. That's one of the definitions. And it also says, it also goes on and it says that it means the strongest, the most powerful, and even the most important. And so what it's really referring to here as a family, women and our children should come under the leadership of the husband or the man in the household, and that is our authority figure, right? They're the supreme authority over that household. Now, you're never going, and we won't go into this very deeply, but I'm not saying if the man in your house is leading you to go and rob a convenience store that you follow that. You also need to be a godly, holy person in this scenario. And the truth is by doing so, you're setting an example then for the leader of the home. And there's scripture on that, and I don't know if we'll get there today. But I wanted to go over to, like I said, some of these things, and we'll go back here. But one of the things I want to say too, and let me see if I have that scripture right here. Let's pull up 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. And this is, again, in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 3:7. It says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. We, as women, are the weaker of the species, I suppose. So men were made stronger. God created man to be stronger, not just physically, but in all areas, in all ways. And so we as women don't always like to admit that. But we were created that way. That's what God intended. It was always his intention that men would be stronger. Men would be more, even stronger willed at times. I mean, you know, have that lack of I don't want to say lack of emotion, because men have emotion, as you well know, men, but you're not led by that emotion as much as women tend to be. And so we'll go on and we'll look at this, but I don't want to ruffle any feathers, because as a single mom at times, you know, I had to come up to a certain level and be at a certain place of strength and at a certain place of, you know, you kind of have to take on kind of two roles there. Some of you have raised children alone or had, you know, been the only one in the household. You do have to step into that. But God did make men to lead the household and to be strong. And so if there is that is in your life where you have a man, you need to come under that authority in your life. We talked about, you know, going into this about being the weaker. It's also true, you know, like I said, emotionally, men tend to not display their emotion like women do. And I think sometimes women wish they would, you know, if nothing else, just, you know, out of empathy, you know, or to come alongside and not make me feel so bad. Earl has this sound, he'll go, and that's all he does, You know, like, you don't ever know whether that's a good or a bad but it's almost always bad. It's almost always like, it's almost always a little dismissive. So, but jokingly, and I know that. So, but we have a little fun with in our house. And so, and sometimes I know what's coming when I say something. But, you know, typically women, and as women, we can all come to a point in our lives where we can say this, where we want to be upset about something, and we might take our problem or our concern to, you know, our husband, and he might just kind of do that, or he might be like, well, let's solve this problem. I'm like, no, I just want you to be sad with me. You know, I just want you to hear me and let me fuss about it. I don't want you to necessarily solve it. I want to wallow here for a little bit. Can't you just come alongside me and do that? But yeah, their goal, and they are the stronger, you know, species, where they want to immediately try to create a solution, right? And that is part of, that's what God created them with. And so we have to recognize and see those things as we are living in this season, especially, and we're going to talk about that. I feel like we have, and it's probably come because of the world and the times that we live in, you know, where divorce is so prevalent, where a lot of women have had to come into that position and take that position or that place of the authority figure in their homes as well. And, you know, there's also times too where, and I'm going to share a little story, I'll kind of start with this first. Years ago, it used to be, of course, you know, the husbands would work, the fathers would work in the house, and the ladies would be at home raising the children. That was typical, right? And so to give you an idea of kind of how it is that women are more, the weaker of the two, you know, there was a season in life when salespeople would come around to the houses and try to sell vacuum cleaners to the women in the household, and they'd try to sell encyclopedias and stuff like that. And I know this because I grew up in a house where, you know, there was always a salesman at the door wanting to sell something. They come in and they show you all this stuff. And, you know, we have a set of encyclopedias in our house because of this very thing, as well as some other books that mom bought over the course of time, you know. Now, my dad would come home, you know, it's like, why is there a $600 vacuum in the floor over here that you have to, like, put water in and all this stuff? You know, it's like, what is this? And, you know, oh, well, it's the greatest thing, you know, or this encyclopedia said it's going to help little Billy, you know, go to college. And, you know, and it's cheaper than a tutor, you know. It's only, you know, $12 a month, and, you know, for 7 years, it'll be fine. And so, you know, you do all this, you know, you sign up for these things, and women would just kind of, like, sadly, you know, hook, line, and sinker, here we'd go, you know, because they would often play on our emotions, right? When they'd come in there, well, you want the best for little Billy, don't you? You need to take, you know, he needs this set of medical dictionaries. Oh, well, of course, I want you to be a doctor, let's sign up. And so that was the way that salesmen would, you know, make a living. And it was for a long period of time they were able to do this because husbands and dads would be off at work and moms would be at home raising the kids and they're sick and tired of their kids and somebody came knocking on the door and, hello, company, you know, show us what you got and we'll buy it, you know. And we would, and then, you know, to this day we're still moving encyclopedias every time we move. And so anyway, you know, I think that our emotions can get in the way of us making decisions. And so God intended for men to be able to lay their emotions aside, not to say they don't have them, but to lay them aside and make decisions to lead the household in a logical way and according to his will. Amen. And so, I'll tell this story. I've actually told this story before. I don't know if it was Father's Day or not, but I think I've only told it once, and I think that was the first time my husband heard it. But when we first got married, I had been by myself raising our children in my own home, you know, paying and doing, living life and getting by just fine, you know, and then here he comes along, and that was, you know, this was different. And so we got married, and about a year later, we got the news, not even a year later, I guess, got the news that Lakin was expecting a baby out of wedlock. And so she wasn't married, she was in college, all these things, and so she, you know, she was going to be due in August, so she came, you know, went through her freshman year of college and then came home, moved home with us. And Tyler was in the military at the time and stationed in Georgia. And so they didn't get married before Nolan came along. They were married in December. Nolan was born in August, so a few months later. But before that, so Nolan is coming along. He's going to be born in August, and Lakin comes to me and says, you know, Tyler wants to stay at our house. He's going to come in. He's only got 2 weeks of leave. He's going to come in a week before, you know, hopefully she has the baby, and then we'll be here for a week after. It just kind of depends how things fall with the first one. You just never know when babies are going to come. So he kind of played it out, and that's how it worked out. He got there about a week before she went into labor and had him, and then he was there for the second week, which was his first week of life. Now, he wanted to be there for all the first things. He was only going to have this 1 week. Now, we understood that. He's a daddy, a brand new daddy for the first time, and he's going to have to leave and go back to Georgia and be separated from Lakin and the baby for months on end, who knows how long, and that was going to be a difficult season for him, and we understood that. However, when he, you know, she comes and says he wants to stay here, you know, he'll just sleep on the couch or whatever, but he can help me then with that first week at night and feedings and all the stuff. He wants to be a part of all those things. And so, you know, Earl and I talked about it, and Earl said no. He said, you know, the Word of God says, and actually, I don't know if it's in my notes. Let me see. Is it in Thessalonians, honey? Earl's going to give it to me. There's a scripture that says that you don't want to even give the perception or the appearance of wrongdoing. It is in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Put that up in the, let's just put it up in the King James for a minute, Kylie. I thought I had it written down, but I think I wrote it down on something else. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 in the King James. Yeah, I don't have it here. And it talks about here the not to even allow the appearance of evil. And so as pastors, not just as pastors, but as Christians, you know, we weren't going to compromise the Word. Did you find it? 1 Thessalonians, T-H-E-S-S, and then 5:22 in the abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a short little sentence, but it packs a wallop. And in that moment, you know, it made sense to not have Tyler's car sitting outside of our house at 3 a.m. when the neighbors came home or people were out and about or what have you, because it looked like then we were condoning them being together. Do you see what I mean by that? And so it wasn't, we knew there wouldn't be any nonsense, you know, going on, but it was going to have the appearance of that. Well, that broke Lakin's heart. You know, she was sad about that because she wanted to have Tyler stay and him be a part of that, and it broke Tyler's heart. You know, he wanted to be there for all those things. And so they actually made the decision that that week they would spend at their dad's, and their dad didn't have a problem with any of those things, so that's what they did. And so, which was fine, but now it's breaking my heart because my grandbaby, his first week of life is not going to be in our house. And I was tormented by this, you know. And Earl had no idea. He made the decision, and that was the end of it, and he didn't think any more about it. But I was, like, losing sleep, and I was all upset, and I was, because my emotion was that I wasn't going to have or be there for that first week and help Lakin as a new mom, you know, be a part of that first week. And then, in fact, she would be at her dad's house, who doesn't know the first thing about really doing those things. And so in my mind, I was thinking, no, they should be here. This should be here, you know. And so I start contemplating, you know, well, we could put his car in the garage and then nobody would know. And, you know, I start thinking about all these things. And I had decided on my own to override his decision. And so not come under the authority of what he had spoken over our household. He was leading our household according to the Word of God, and I was going to lead our household against the Word of God pretty plainly, pretty out and open about it. And so I was praying about this, or I think I just wanted God to deal with him. God, change his mind. Tell him not to go with your word. Just change his mind. And so at the time, you know, it was all because of the emotion I was going through, and I just wanted all these things. And so I remember one day I was praying that God would just reveal to him that this was okay. We'd come up with a plan. It'd all be good, and they could all come home and stay. Because Lakin was asking me on the daily, you know, are you sure? Are you sure? Because she wanted to be at home with me, you know, as well. And so it was, you know, it was hard on all of us. And so I remember I used to go, like, on my lunchtime to my car and read and just pray and whatnot sometimes and take a nap sometimes. But in this case, I was just about this, and I heard the Lord tell me very sternly, very firmly, not to do this. Don't go against the word that my husband has spoken, the authority that he had, the way he was leading our household, because it was in accordance with the Word of God. And that if I went away from that, it would have ramifications that would be significant versus if we stayed with what he had spoken and with the Word of God. And so I didn't, you know, we just left things as they were, and they stayed at their dad's for that week. And you know what? Nolan is 11, I'm going to be 11 years old in August, and he's just fine. And so am I. Thankfully, we didn't have to find out what the repercussions of that would have been, because it would have been me undermining his authority in our household. it would have been demonstrating to him that I didn't give his word honor and his position in our household honor. And it also would have been going against the word of God in addition. So I would have been breaking God's heart, my husband's heart, and ultimately, I don't know what would happen. Maybe it could have had devastating effects even on us in our marriage as well as in other ways too. I'm thankful. I don't have any idea what the repercussions of that would have been. Praise God. And so that is the type of thing that we're talking about here. It's not, I mean, we as emotional beings can often make decisions based on those emotions. And God gave men the lead of the household intentionally so that they would lead us according to the word of God. Let's see where I want to go next. Let's go over to Genesis in chapter 3. Let's just start in chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and let's go to verse 16. All right, so and this is back in the New Living Translation. Please. But the Father, so this is God. Now, he's created Adam at this point, and he is telling and giving him instruction. He's told him to go and tend the garden. And he says in verse 16, "But the Lord God warned him," referring to Adam, "you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden," go on to 17, "except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you are sure to die." Now, let's go over to chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're gonna read down. It says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made." I've always felt that way. Snakes are the worst. They're evil. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of any trees in the garden?" In verse 2. "Of course we may eat any fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. 3. "It's only the fruit of the tree from the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." Now, Adam is the one who told Eve this information because God told Adam, Adam told Eve. Now, I don't know, it doesn't tell us if God actually told Adam about the part of dying, but at any rate, this was what she responded to the serpent. Now go on into verse 4. It says, "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. Verse 5, "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." In verse 6, Kylie, can we put up verse 6? There it is. "Then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters from the heavens." Nope. Chapter 3 and verse 6. Sorry, guys. I should have put these in the system and I didn't last night. Sorry. And he says in verse 6, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and it looked delicious." She's being led by her emotions already. "And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her." Again, she's like, oh, emotion. "So she took of the fruit, and she ate it, and she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too." She just bought the encyclopedias. That's what happened. I know it's encyclopedias because it says she wanted wisdom. So that's what's happened here. He came dressed in his best suit, the slithery snake that he was, and he sold her on this fruit. He basically talked her into trying this fruit. He played on her emotions, and he succeeded. And then, here comes her husband, try this. Because, see, she didn't die on the spot. So he was convinced by her, and he ate it too. And, the thing is that I probably could have talked Earl into eventually changing his mind about what we had talked about if I had gone to try that. Maybe not. He does walk with God. Of course, so did Adam. But the thing is that, you know, I have done things like that before. You know, because I spent so much time as the leader of our household, and then to suddenly have someone who had never been a husband, never been a father, come into our lives. And, you know, I sometimes probably felt I knew better. And sometimes I probably felt like, I'm going to have my way in this. And I'm not telling you any of those stories today. I'm only telling you the one where I obeyed, and all was well. But the truth of it is that we can do that. You know, we as women can do that, but we're not supposed to do that. That is dishonoring to our husbands, to our spouses, to our, to the fathers of our children. But it's dishonoring to God as well, because He put a way in order, a method in a orderly fashion that we were to, you know, come under the authority of the fathers, the husbands in our households. So let's go on here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now let's put this in the NIV, please, Kylie. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord." Now, this is primarily talking about children, but, you know, husbands can exasperate their wives, too, pretty quickly. Are you going to do it again? But the thing is he says, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. You are to lead the household, not just the way you want to lead the household, not in a way. Earl was not trying to disappoint me. He wasn't trying to make Tyler mad. He wasn't trying to make Lakin cry. He wasn't doing those things because he wanted to, you know, he was trying to exasperate us. He spoke that because it was the word of God. It was in the instruction of the Lord. And that's how we are, men are to lead the household. And so when you are, when he told me no, he didn't just say no. He backed it with the scripture at the time. I knew full well when he made the decision that Tyler wasn't going to stay with us during that week, that it was because the word of God spoke it. It wasn't because he just thought, no, I don't want somebody sleeping on my couch. I'd prefer that baby not be here for this first week, and that would be one more week we all get to sleep. You know, that is not what he was doing. That's not what he was thinking. He was not trying to exasperate us. He was leading us according to the instruction of the Lord. And that is how we are to lead, or the men are to lead our household. Now, if you are in that position, as we're at where you do not have a man in your household to lead, then you are to stand in this place. As I said, as during the years that I was by myself, I had to take on the role of the head or the authority of our household. And that meant I had to do this too. I had to lead our household by the instruction of the Lord when in the absence of a man leading in our household. Does that make sense? So that's why I said this message, even if you're not a father, there's something in it for everyone. We're just spreading the love today. So, you know, and we've talked about this before too. Leading in the training and the instruction of the Lord means that you have to be in the Word. You have to be listening to God. You have to be reading His Word. You have to be praying to know what the instruction. God just didn't drop that scripture in his heart like he'd never heard it before. He knew that scripture because he had been reading the Word and he had seen it in the Word, so he had knowledge of it. So when it came time where he was going to have to make a decision regarding this, he went to what he knew, which was the Word. Anytime that you're leading your household by the Word of God, it's always going to be the best way. It's always going to be good. It's never going to be against or have repercussions that God cannot handle. So, you know, often when we don't go or are not doing things by the Word of God, there are repercussions. We have gotten so accustomed to making decisions based on what we want and not what the Word of God says that we just do that without consulting the Word of God. You know, in that sense, at the time, Tyler wanted to be there with his new son. Lakin wanted him there to help care for the baby, and she wanted that for him. She also wanted to be in our house where I could help her. She was a new mom, 19 years old, never done this before, and really didn't spend a lot of time babysitting. So she didn't even have some of those, you know, those things. And so she wanted to be there where I could help her. And so in the natural, it seemed like a good idea. He's not going to sleep in her room. We know all those things. He's going to sleep on the couch. It'll be just fine. They probably are going to be up most of the night anyway with a screaming baby. And so those things seemed in the natural just like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. You know, we won't want to deprive Tyler of this first week of his son's life. We don't want to deprive Lakin of having the counsel and the, you know, the help from me. All those things. But he didn't. He immediately sought the Word of God instead of making a decision based on natural circumstances or even on the desires of his wife, you know? And so by doing that, we avoided catastrophic things. And so we have to remember that when we are not going to God first and finding out what his word says on something, that we are taking ourselves down a path that's going to lead to circumstances, it's going to lead to consequences where we're going to have to make another decision and make another decision and make another decision. And if we keep making decisions based on our own circumstances, what we see in the natural, earthly and worldly responses, then we're going to continually be on that path, on that path, on that path, and we're going to get so far off, we're not even going to know that there was a path of God. And the thing is it's so quick. All you have to do is say, Lord, help me. I have messed up, and I need to get back over here. And he's so good. He's right there. He shows you right what to do immediately. And, you know, we gave it this morning in that scripture in Proverbs chapter, and it's not, you don't have to put this up, Kylie. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, wait at wisdom's doorway, longing for a word for every day. And do you have your notebook there? Anyone? Okay, here. Let me just read it off. I asked Kylie not to put it up, but it says, if you wait at wisdom's doorway, wisdom is God. When you go to God and you wait at that doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. He says, for the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. This is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord. If you want to have a successful and prosperous life, then you need to be listening to God in every day for every situation. He has this is full of answers in every single situation. You know, and I've shared this before, I'll share it again. It's something small and it's kind of going against or away from some of the topic. But you know, I was working with a girl who had I think she probably went to a Methodist church or something some as a kid growing up. She wasn't in church a lot, but she believed in God. She wanted to be in church more, these sorts of things. And so we were walking, and she was going to be leaving her position doing the same role that I did. She covered the Champaign and the Bloomington and the Decatur area. And in Champaign, if you don't know, there's a big college there. And anyway, at that big college, they have all kinds of parking people, like, you know, like security. And if you park in the wrong spot, they give you a ticket. Like, they're just waiting, you know. And she had parked in a spot that was apparently for something else or had extended her stay, whatever it was, and she got a $25 parking ticket at the U of I. And so she's thinking, you know, well, now she's getting ready to go into a new position where she's not going to be in Champaign at all. And so she realized, oh, I hadn't paid that ticket yet. And she's saying this as we're walking. And so as we're walking, she's saying this, and she says, maybe I'll just, you don't think it'll be a big deal if I just forget about it, do you? And I just don't pay that. It wasn't because she didn't have the money. It was absolutely because she didn't want the hassle. She didn't want to have the inconvenience of figuring out how to pay it when she wasn't going to be in Champaign, on campus, and all da da da. And so she was trying to avoid that hassle. And in the natural, it just seemed like, yeah, it's $25. They're not going to come after you. What are they going to do? You know, they can't. You're not even a student, you know, on campus. So that was kind of the mentality she was thinking. And as soon as she says, you know, it won't be a big deal, will it? The words rose up on the inside of me, owe no man anything but love. And so that means pay your debt. That's what that means. Pay off all your debts. And so I said to her, I said, you know what? The Word of God says this. And I said that scripture to her. And I said, I think it's just best if you go to the website, figure out how to pay it, just pay it and be done with it, and then you won't be taking that with you at any point in time. You're not going to get letters in the mail. You're not going to have the hassle that could come from it down the road. And she said, you're right. I'm going to do that. And so that was kind of the end of it. We just went on. The thing is that, like, then, I don't know, 3 weeks later, she sends me a message. She says, I got to tell you, I paid that fine. And she said, it was so easy to do. And I'm so glad you told me just to do that because I feel so much better about it. And she says, I know it sounds like such a small thing, but it really helped me. And so it's not so much, you know, the word isn't always a big deal. It's not always going to be this big, monstrous thing. But when you spend time in here, there's answers for every single thing you're dealing with. When you spend time in here, he's going to cause that to come out of you in every situation. It's going to be the thing that you lean on to make decisions to get from point A to point B, whatever it is in your life, and you're going to have a better outcome every single time than when you do it on your own based on your own circumstances and your own resources and your own solutions. Amen? So, wait at wisdom's doorway. It's on the front of this notebook is why I refer to that notebook. So, let's go on quickly. I don't want to keep you much longer. James chapter 1 and verse 22 in the New Living Translation, it says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. How true is that? You know, we sometimes fool ourselves into thinking that we can just do our own thing. And then we have repercussions, consequences, and circumstances that come behind it instead. But if we listen for God's word, and we do what he says, then we're going to have such a better outcome. If you go over to Joshua, Kylie, put up Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, also in the New Living. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be sure to obey everything that's written in it. Most of the time, If we spend our time in this word and we study it out and we give it weight in our lives and we don't compromise what it says, because that's what I was trying to do with Earl when we were having that, you know, with that whole situation. I was trying to compromise the word of God. I was going to, like, put his car in the garage so nobody would know. I mean, I'm compromising the word of God blatantly. And if the thing is if we get into a place where we're spending enough time focused and studying here, As things arise, as situations arise, that's what's going to come out of us without us even having to go. That word is going to spring forth. It's going to show up, and he's going to tell us exactly what to do. It's going to line up with it, and you'll be shocked sometimes at how fast it will. And but it goes on, and it says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Only then. Only once you have studied the book, this book, and you have meditated on it day and night. Meditate just means to think on it, to think it over. Meditate on it day and night so that you are sure to obey everything that's written in it. And when you do that, you will succeed and prosper in all that you do. It is God's desire for you to succeed and to prosper. It is, he wants that more than you want that. Believe it or not. And he made a way for it to happen. He gave you everything you need right here in this book. And everything you need to make every decision in your life. And when you lead your household according to this, you can't help but to prosper and to succeed in everything. Amen? And it's not too late. If you haven't been living like this, you can. And if you haven't made God your Father and you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the good news is you can, quick and easily. And all we have to do is pray, a simple prayer, and you can do that. It's just like this. It's that fast. And when you make that decision for Christ, all of heaven celebrates. The angels celebrate. There's a party in heaven going on for every person who makes that decision. So let's pray today and just give everyone who's watching online, everyone here, an opportunity to make that decision today. Amen? Let's all pray. And as I pray this prayer, if you'll just repeat after me. So, Father God, I come to you right now as a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, make me right with you so that I can have eternal life with you. I make Jesus my Lord.